Good morning, everyone. Good to see you all here. I'm excited because I know the Lord has called you here today if you're here. So that makes me happy. I'm sure it makes him happy as well. I also look forward to celebrating our brothership and sistership this afternoon at the family picnic. So please come to that. Even if you're visiting with us today, there's plenty of stuff. Come join us. And if you like Dave said before, if you don't know where the depot's at, I'm sure there's plenty of people in here who can point you in the right direction. Coldwater's not that big. It is my hope this morning in the Lord Jesus Christ to proclaim the truth to you. And we get an excellent opportunity of doing that this morning as we get an example of a young man who has done that with his life. And that's who Paul's going to introduce us to today. We're going to be introduced to Timothy. Now, we've heard Timothy already. He's in the very first sentence of this letter because he's also writing this letter with Paul. All right? And we're going to find out today why that's so important. We're going to see that these guys' hearts are united. They're one. And here's the main thing. Here's what I've titled the message for this morning: Seeking the Interests of Jesus Christ. And the reason I have titled it that, because I think this tends to be the overrunning theme that we see throughout this whole passage. We're going to see Paul is seeking for the interest of Christ when he writes this part. We're going to see that Timothy is seeking the interest of Christ with his life, and we're able to recognize that from him because of the character that he has built up. I feel like that's what the Lord wants to press upon our hearts today. So here's how we're going to do that this morning. As I looked at the text this week, I saw three reasons in the print why Paul wants to send Timothy to them. So here's the first reason, Paul's own encouragement. So in verse 19, we're going to look at Paul's encouragement he expects to get from sending Timothy to them, right? There's a reason. That's a reason he wants to send them. He wants to be cheered by them. The second reason is going to be this: Timothy's outstanding character. All right, so we're going to spend most of our time right here in this second reason looking at verses 20 through 23 because they tell us a lot about Timothy. In a little bit of words, Paul says so much, right? So what we're going to see is seven characteristics of Timothy that emulate Christ. And what I mean by emulate Christ, they copy Christ. They replicate Christ, all right? So if Timothy has these characteristics and it's something that Paul wants this church to look at, this is something he wants us to look at as well. He wants us to emulate it because it emulates Christ. So that's why Timothy's being set before us today. Also, another reason why Paul wants to send Timothy to this church. And then the third reason is this: to encourage the Philippian church. Right? So at first it sounds selfish, like Paul just wants to a little bit of giddy up as he's sitting here in prison waiting. He needs some good news because it's a little somber. So he says, no, I'm sending Timothy also to encourage you so the whole body can be excited about what God is doing. So that's my plan in the Lord Jesus this morning, and I pray that he's with me and I pray that he's with you. And just to make sure, let me pray for us again. Father, as I have mentioned to these people already, I'm so thankful that you have called them here and that they have answered that call to come and worship with us this morning. Lord, I pray that as they walked through those doors, the distractions of the world outside were pushed aside so that we can focus solely on you. Lord, for those hearts that maybe aren't in that place yet, I ask that you put them in that place now. Help them to cast the cares of the world away so that they can focus on you, so that we can focus on your servant Timothy and see what kind of example he gives us to follow so that we can be more like your son, Jesus Christ. That is my hope in you this morning, Lord, and we just pray that you take this time and have your way with it. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so the first reason we see, verse 19, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that, here's how I know that's a reason Paul wants to send Timothy, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. So what Paul is saying is he wants to send Timothy to them so he can find out how they're doing. Are you living up to the commands that I gave you when I was with you? Are you living up to the commands that are in this letter that I'm sending to you? How are you doing with that? Because he will be encouraged by that. That's his heart. But I think there's something more important to look at here. Like I said, this overrunning theme of seeking the interest of Jesus Christ is all over the place here. And Paul starts with it in that, I hope in the Lord Jesus. Right? Now, we say this, don't we? When we make plans, we'll make a plan in the future. And since the Apostle James tells us that we should make plans, but also seek the guidance and make sure it's of God's will before we do it. So we'll say that. We'll say, it is my hope to do this, Lord willing. And we attach that to it. And sometimes when we do that, and I'm guilty of this as well, those words are empty. It's exactly that. It's an add-on to the end of our sentence. Really, we're just hoping we get to do what we want to do. And then hopefully God tags along for that. Instead of truly seeking his will for what we plan to do. I don't think Paul lived that way. Paul's in prison, and he's happy in prison because the gospel is advancing. Maybe not happy, but content is probably a better word, right? So he fully expects God to be using this for his good. So that's what he's saying here. He's saying, my hope is to send Timothy to you, if that's in the Lord Jesus, right? And here's why I think he says that. I think Paul's a little uncertain about what's going to happen to him right now. He's not sure. I mean, back in chapter 1, we kind of get this feeling like he thinks he's going to get out and he thinks he's going to see the Philippians again, but he's not certain. And the reason I say he's not certain is because last week Eric shared another verse with us from Philippians 2:23 that says this, even if I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Even if I am to be poured out, even if I am to die here in this prison. So even from that, you still get the sense that he thinks he's going to be set free. But he's not sure. But even if he's not, they're going to be able to rejoice, and he's going to rejoice. Remember, for Paul, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. No matter what happens to his body, he does everything by the will of the Lord, so he knows that Jesus is going to be honored by whatever happens to him. So that's his hope in the Lord Jesus. He's just not sure that's what's going to happen yet. So he hopes, therefore, to send Timothy just as soon as he sees how it will go with him. Since he's uncertain, since he doesn't know for sure, he's waiting to see if I am set free, if I know this for certainty, because the Lord Jesus knows for certain what's going to happen. Once that happens, I'm going to send Timothy to you now, right? So you want to see Timothy sooner rather than later, because if he comes soon, that's good news. So that's Paul's hope this morning, okay? Now, here's what I said. The reason is I too may be cheered by news of you. Paul wants to be encouraged by them. So here's what he's going to do. Here's Paul's plan. Paul says, I'm going to send this letter with Epaphroditus, who we're going to learn about next week, okay? Epaphroditus is going to bring this letter to the Philippian church, and we've already had a whole bunch of things that Paul has commented on. Eric asked me on Wednesday how sermon prep was going. I said, I feel like I'm doing the whole letter over again. So I'm going to try and list it out real quick. When Paul sends Timothy, Timothy's going to have these questions in his mind to check on how the church is doing, right? So it's this, are you, and here's this list of stuff. Are you, from verse 127, letting your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ? Are you standing firm and striving side by side in unity? Are you suffering well for the sake of Christ? Because suffering is a gift to test our faith. Are you having this humble mind of Christ amongst yourselves? Are you serving one another just like Christ served us? Remember, he gave us that beautiful picture of Christ coming from the heavens, wrapping himself in flesh, going to the cross for you, for me, for anyone who would believe in him. Are you working out your salvation with fear and trembling? And are you doing that without grumbling and complaining? Are you allowing the Spirit of God to come in you and change you? And are you allowing that to express itself with what you do? Are you doing those things? So just to save time later, I'm going to wrap this all up in one question. Are you allowing Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life? Are you seeking his interests instead of your own? Because that's what Jesus did for you. Remember, he counts us more significant than himself. The same thing that Paul is trying to tell this church to do, Christ did. Christ was a picture of that. So these are the quest, questions Timothy's going to go to the Philippian church with. These are what he wants answered. This is what he wants to bring back to Paul so that Paul can be encouraged, because Paul fully expects that this is happening. Fully expects that. So why send Timothy? All right? So now we're going to get our second reason. Here's why we're sending Timothy: because of Timothy's outstanding character. All right? And remember, I said we had seven characteristics, so the list is going to start now. I'm going to let Paul do it for us. For I have no one like him. I have no one like Timothy. And here's what Paul's saying when he says that. He is a kindred spirit to me. And what I mean by that is we are like-minded. We are like-hearted. We want the same thing because we both seek the interest of Christ. That's what we want. So if I'm thinking of something, I know Timothy's thinking of it. If I'm feeling something, if I have some sort of emotion for you that is God-given and I know it, I know Timothy feels that same thing. We are like-minded, striving side by side. Now, here's what I want to pull up, where we see Timothy first in the Bible, because I think this brings out an awesome characteristic of Timothy. So in Acts 16, 1 through 3, we see Paul came also to Derbe and Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, that's our boy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him. So here's what I want us to notice. Timothy already had this character before Paul met him. Does that make sense? Do you get what I'm saying? Paul hasn't met Timothy yet, and yet brothers and sisters in the Lord are already telling Paul about this young man who is on fire for the Lord. He has made him Lord of his life. That character is already there. Paul was already able to recognize it then. This was 10 years before he's writing this letter, maybe a little bit more. So before Paul even meets Timothy, Timothy has this character. God is already doing a work in Timothy. And when Paul finally meets Timothy, he says, "You're coming with me, because I have no one like you. I'm going to disciple you. I'm going to show you how to reach out to people who are around you and share the gospel. I'm going to teach you how to strive side by side. I'm going to grow you." I think this is good for all of us to take note of, because I think we all need a Paul in our life. As we grow in our Christian walk, I think we should be recognizing those leaders who have this character in them already, or recognizing these young people who have this character in their life already, and making ourselves available to them. Are we willing to place ourselves under good, godly leadership so that we can see it express itself? Make sure it's not just words. And then, are we willing to take what we learn and disciple somebody else in the same way? That's what Jesus is calling us to. That's what discipleship is. It's living our lives with one another for the interest of Jesus Christ, so that he gets all of the glory. Now, Paul meets Timothy, and Timothy goes on his first missionary trip, right? So he joins Paul, and they go to Philippi. So this is the first time the Philippian church meets Paul. So when he writes this letter to him, the reason Timothy's in the greetings is because the Philippian church doesn't know Paul without Timothy, right? Timothy's a staple to this church. When they meet Paul, they meet Timothy as well. They already know they're like-minded. They already know they're one in spirit. So I want us all to put ourselves in Timothy's shoes here for a second, okay? You're a young 20-something. This apostle Paul, who you've probably heard about, in fact, just a few weeks ago, he was at Iconium and stoned almost to death, right? Now he comes to your place and he wants to take you with him. All right, I'm on fire for Jesus, let's go, right? So you go and you get to Philippi and you meet Lydia, this merchant, this seller of purple goods, and she gets converted. And now she's on fire for Jesus. She says, "Hey guys, come on, stay at my house. This can be your place to kind of work out. You can call this home base. And then we'll head out and do whatever." And then one day you're heading out for prayer. Things are going great. You're heading out for prayer one day, and this demon is pestering Paul, and Paul finally casts this demon out and ticks off some people because they're making money off of her, right? So now Paul's in trouble. Now Paul gets beat with rods. Let me read this in Acts 16, verse 22. They get him arrested, and as he's getting arrested, this happens. The crowd joined in attacking them, And the magistrates tore the garments off them and gave orders to beat them with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Now you're on this missionary trip. Now, I don't know if Timothy was involved with any of this. I don't know if he got hit with the rods or any of that. The word tells us Paul and Silas did. But how many are like, sign me up for the next 10 to 15 years after that? Or the rest of my life? When you see that type of persecution for preaching the gospel, you signing up? Timothy did. This church knows it. Because it happened right here where they're at. And Timothy probably stayed and served them, whether he went to prison or not. I guarantee you he helped with this church until Paul and Silas were set free. Now, most people would see, but here's what Timothy saw. Eventually, the jailer who was keeping them was converted to Christ through a miracle that happened with the earthquake and the doors opening up. So Timothy also got to see that. A young 20-something going out and witnessing all that. Are you on board? And then here's something else I want to point out. Timothy is used to being sent somewhere to be Paul's replica, basically. So in 1 Corinthians, and this is a church that we know has divisions in it already, and this is what Paul's trying to keep the Philippian church from doing. He's feeling these seeds of division there already. So now this Corinthian church, who is rich and poor over here and separating themselves in that way, he sends Timothy. He says, "For though you have countless guides in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel," meaning I came to you, I preached the gospel to you, and won your soul for Christ. "I urge you then, be imitators of me. Don't stray from the message that I gave you. Don't stray from the lifestyle I gave you. That is why I send you Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach them in every church." Why is he sent Timothy? Because Timothy's going to teach them exactly what Paul teaches them. He's going to live his life exactly the way Paul taught them. And that's not just with words, it's with the way he lives his life. So many of us are visual learners, aren't we? I mean, that's why we got the screens up here, because we know we have to keep your attention. If the kids were up here, they'd all be glued. Right? That's why I try to keep pictures and videos off there now. Hopefully you're just looking at the words. But we need that. We need to see somebody who exemplifies Christ for us, because in our flesh, we don't want to do it. We need to see it. Now, just to make sure we know Paul's not an egomaniac making this all about his glory, he says later in that letter to the Corinthians, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." You're going to know if your leaders are following the Lord or not. You're going to know, because God's going to place his spirit in you to be able to recognize that. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Be an imitator of Timothy. He is an imitator of me as I am an imitator of Christ. So that's the first characteristic. I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. So that's characteristic number two. Timothy has genuine concern for their interest, not his own, for their interest. Remember, count others as more significant than yourself. Look not only to your own interest, but to the interest of others. Paul says, this is how Timothy feels about you. Now, since he has this kindred spirit to Paul, and he has this genuine concern for their interest, when Paul writes in the intro of Philippians 1, 8 through 11, this is Timothy's heart as well. "For God is my witness, how I yearn for you with all the affection of Christ Jesus." And remember, Eric had us hang on to that sentence for a while when he preached about it. Do you yearn for somebody with the affections of Christ? When you look at your spouse, or when you look at your son or daughter, or you look at your brothers or sisters, do you yearn for them with the affections of Christ Jesus? This is how Paul feels for this church. This is how Timothy feels for this church. He genuinely puts their interest above his own, because he knows that's the interest of Christ. And that's the next part. "For they all seek their own interest, not those of Jesus Christ." So Timothy seeks the interest of Jesus Christ. Now, in order to understand this, we have to look at this verse again. They all seek their own interests. So we don't exactly know who Paul's talking about here. But in my estimation, he's talking about everyone else because he has no one else like Timothy. So he's saying, here's what happens. They all seek their own interest, not those of Jesus Christ, right? He's differentiating these people from Timothy. Now, again, I put a whole list of stuff on here of what these other people may be seeking. Remember in chapter 1 when Paul said, there are some who preach the gospel of Christ out of selfish ambition and rivalry. So yes, they're preaching the gospel of Christ, and Paul rejoices in that. But he doesn't rejoice in this part. They're doing it for their own interest. They're doing it for their ministries, their influence, their earthly comfort. Could you imagine these guys coming to the church in Philippi and saying, why do you want to keep helping this Paul out? He gets stoned and beaten and robbed and thrown in prison. We're not having that stuff happen to us. We're preaching the same message, just we're not getting beat up for it, right? And we're growing, so why don't you come our way? Do you think that would start to plant seeds of division in your church if somebody came in here and started saying that, started preaching something that maybe sounded a little easier on your ears than what Vince or Marion or Eric or I preach? This is what they're seeking. They're seeking their possessions, their vainglory. Listen, it's not just those leaders, though, guys. We do this. You know why I was able to come up with this list? It's my list. That's my list of things that try to tempt me away from seeking the interest of Christ. And I could probably come up with hundreds more. And I know you can too. And the more I read the Word of God, the more I recognize them in my life. That's not where Timothy's at. Timothy has this Colossians 3 mind. Colossians 3, 1 through 4. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth, for you have died. You have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Christ's message was not get everything you can get in this earth and use it all to glorify me. That's what he wants us to do with it. But his message was, if you want to follow me, you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. The writer of this hymn got it that we were singing this morning. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. A few verses before that. My riches gain, I count but loss because of what I saw my Savior did on the cross. We sang those words this morning. And I know you felt them because I could feel them while singing them with you. Do we believe that? Are we seeking Christ in his interest? Are we putting our stuff before it? Or are we living here in Colossians 3 mind? Christ's kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. Our comforts are awaiting us yet. So they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. And now he tells the church, but you know Timothy's proven worth. You've seen it. He's been tested and proven worthy. Right? I don't know how much Timothy suffered, but he did. I don't know how many of these beatings he was involved in. I'm sure there were some. We find out in Hebrews that Timothy at some point in time is actually put in prison and he gets out. But through all of that, his faith was tested. You know why? He didn't run. He was still there. He has been tested and proven worthy. Romans 5, 3 through 5 says this. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. When we're preaching the gospel and we suffer because of it, we rejoice in that, knowing that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. God's love has been poured into Timothy's heart. He loves God so much that he seeks God's interest above his own. And because he loves God so much to seek God's interest above his own, he also seeks the interest of others above his own. God's love has been poured of us. God has given us a love for him and a love for others. That is the hope that we have. We see that expressed in our lives, and we know we are a follower of Jesus Christ. So you know Timothy's proven worth. You've watched it for 10 or 11 years. You get it. He's still here. Now, these last three characteristics are kind of a subset, and I'm going to kind of run them all together. So you know his proven worth because this is what he's done. How as a son with a father, he has served with me, so he has the mind of a servant. I don't really need to go over this because we looked at this with Christ already, right? Christ took the form of a servant when he became a man. Okay? Timothy has that mind among him. He's serving. The word would better be slave. So when you seek the interest of Christ, I know we don't like that word today, especially here in Western civilization, but to be a slave means you do whatever makes your master happy. If you're seeking the same interest as he is, you don't mind being a slave for him. But if you're seeking a different interest, that puts a whole new feeling on that word for us. But Timothy is a willing slave for Christ. He has served with me in the gospel. I do want to point out that word with in there. Paul didn't see Timothy as a slave to himself. He saw him as a slave to the gospel and to Jesus Christ. With me, side by side, in union, walking together. So he has a self-sacrificial mind for the gospel. He is self-sacrificial for the gospel. And then finally, I hope, therefore, to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me. What this told me about Timothy, he's available. He has made himself available to serve and to seek the interest of Christ. Now, again, I'm going to highlight this one more time because I don't want us to miss it. I hope you can't already. He seeks the interest of Jesus Christ. This is where it all starts. Remember when Paul said, have this mind among yourselves, which is in Christ Jesus. The only way this happens is if you have faith that Christ came for you. See, it's because Timothy seeks the interest of God that he has a genuine concern for others' interest. It's because he seeks the interest of Christ that he's able to prove himself worthy of carrying this gospel message. It's because he seeks the interest of Jesus Christ that he has the mind of a slave, that he is self-sacrificial for the gospel, that he is available for the purposes of Christ. And it's because of that that he is a kindred spirit to Paul, as he is to Christ. So here's the part where I want to shamelessly plug our outreach week that's coming up here in July. Here's what I want to ask us to do. Seek the interest of Jesus Christ. And here's what I mean by that. Make yourselves available for that week, for what the Lord wants, not what you want. All right? Circle it on your calendar and protect it. Now, I know we will all say that's hard to do, but I guarantee you, again, this is my own conviction, so I guarantee you, all of you at the beginning of summer had a week circled for vacation, and you protected that week, and nothing else got scheduled during that week. That was your own interest, Lord willing. Are we willing to set aside a week for God's interest? And let me tell you, there's been times when I've gone to these outreaches that we've been doing, and I didn't want to be there, and I've always come back encouraged and amazed at what the Lord has done in it. Make yourself available that week. Now, that doesn't mean take off work. Make yourself available to share the gospel with somebody at work if the opportunity arises. Okay? So make yourselves available for that. So now that's 1 week. I have another challenge. Make yourselves available every day for relationships that are in close proximity to you. Now, let me define what I mean by that. If you're married, you have a spouse living in your house that you need to make yourself available to every day for the interest of Christ. If you are a parent, you have children that you are supposed to be making yourselves available to every day for the interest of Jesus Christ. Make yourselves available every day. Now, let me tell you why I want to say that, because remember, Timothy had this character before Paul met him. And Paul writes this in 2 Timothy to Timothy. He says this, "As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well." This started from mom and grandma, guys. So if you're a parent or you're a grandparent, are you making yourself available for your kids, your grandkids? Are you making yourself available for your brothers and sisters, your mom and dad? Are you doing that? That's Timothy's example. So here's the close proximity relationship for Timothy. It's Paul. He's everywhere this guy is at. He's serving him hand and feet. Now, Paul says he's not my slave, but boy, it sure does seem like it. Timothy just kind of follows him around to be his servant every day for every need that Paul needs. Still not done. I have one more challenge. Make yourselves available to God 24/7. That's not every day. That's every second of every minute of every hour of every day of every month of every year. Seek him. Pray to him. Read his word. See what it says about him. Ask him to reveal who he is to you as you seek his word. Because let me tell you, those first two challenges I gave you on the list aren't happening if you're not doing this, if you're not doing number three. He seeks the interest of Jesus Christ. Guys, that's going to hurt because we all seek our own interest. That's why I think Paul was talking about everybody besides Timothy. He knows no one like Timothy at doing this. That's why Timothy is a great example for us to learn from. I have one more reason for sending Timothy. I didn't forget about it. Sorry we hung out in that one for so long. But it's to encourage the Philippian church. I hope, therefore, to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me. And I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. So here's Paul's hope. If Timothy comes soon, I want you to be excited because that means I'm on my way, right? We rejoice when our partners in the gospel come and be with us and share what their ministry is doing, correct? And Julie, thanks for helping me illustrate that point. It is very encouraging to see you here this morning. For those of you who are new here and don't know Julie, we have partnered with Julie for the past few years. She's come and shared, and her stories have been amazing. And if I'm understanding, you are going to go to the picnic this afternoon for a little bit. You got some time for that? So if you don't get a catch up with her here, we're gonna do communion in a little bit, and then she's gonna come and share. And when she's done sharing, if you can catch up with her and encourage her and bring her some cheer, please do that. And if you want to be more encouraged by her, catch up with her out at the picnic, okay? But this is what Paul's talking about. This is the picture as we send people out. So Paul's sending Timothy out to them so that they can be encouraged that Paul's coming soon. And he's going to share all these amazing things that we don't even know about that happened while he was in prison. Paul's coming soon. And we can all be lifted up by that. So in the end, even here, Paul is seeking the interest of Christ because he wants the entire body to be encouraged. Let me pray for us. Father, again, it is so good to come and hear your word. It is so good to see the examples that you have given us in men and women who are of the faith and in the faith, who have a strong example, a good character. And because of that character, they have hope, Lord. And we know that all starts with the love that you have poured into our hearts, love for you and love for others. Lord, would you let that help us seek your interest in everything that we do? Help us to come to you. Help us to knock down our own walls that we put up. Help us to not be so guarded of our time and our resources as you have given them to us to use for you. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.